when someone does sign up for pro wrestling training, what kind of things are you teaching them in those initial sessions that will tell you whether someone's got what it takes to be a wrestler?
The number one priority of our school, and as should be the same as any good pro wrestling school, is safety. What we do is we have people come in and we take them through basic exercises. So it's around like running, star jumps, push-ups, squats, sprawls, burpees, lots of things like that. And what we're doing is we're making sure that they are physically capable of holding themselves in positions that could become more dangerous. So like around rolls and break falls and doing the moves. And then when they get to a position where they have to put somebody else's body in their hands, they're also physically capable of doing so in a safe manner. So the first thing that we teach when somebody comes into the class is safety. We bring them to a decent level of fitness and strength that they need to be in order to do those things safely. And at the same time, they learn the basics when it comes to rolls and break falls. And then things go from there.
I imagine with that training, it takes quite a while for someone to master the art of wrestling, I guess. What kind of things or signals does someone need to demonstrate that shows you and the others that someone's ready for their first proper match in front of a crowd?
It's a mastery of those basics is the first thing, because it doesn't matter how much training you do, you're never going to be ready for a performance or for a match, because you have to do the matches in order to get practice at being better at those kinds of things. So normally it does come down to just making sure that you're smooth and that you're safe and that you can handle yourself in all the situations physically that you need to be handled in. And then from there we can start to work people into the events a little bit. It would be irresponsible of us to then put a rookie having their first match into a big spot immediately. So what we tend to do is, in order to get them used to the performance aspect, they might be a referee first. They might ring the bell first. They might do something like that where they are actually out in front of the crowd and part of the performance aspect, but with less pressure than actually being one of the wrestlers themselves. Then they might get put into something. Maybe it's a big tag match with lots of other people, or maybe it's something like that. Or we have smaller events, such as we're at the Parramatta Lanes Festival, or we're at the viral food festivals, or something like that. And then we would put the new person in with somebody who's a lot more experienced. And then the experienced person can help put together and cover for the person while they're newer, so that they can get a bit more comfortable, they can get more experience, and they can start to see how they go.
I think historically it's probably safe to say that it's been a lot more challenging for women to make it in the industry and to sort of, I guess, be taken seriously in a sense compared with men, although that's definitely changing. When you're training women, what kind of things are you teaching them to sort of make sure that they know that, hey, you are just as good and you can make it as well?
It might seem counterintuitive, but the real way we've found to do that with the women is to not treat them any differently. So it's not so much about going out of our way to say, hey, you can make it too, because they don't really need to be told that. It's more them saying, can we do this? And we say, no, you're not good enough yet. And it's just that, like, oh, but I can see this and they're making this offer. It's like, well, do you want to get on the cards because you're a woman, or do you want to get on the cards because you're good? And then they go, well, I want to be on the cards because I'm good. And they go, great, then you've got to get good. And they go, okay. And then they do. And that's how you end up with these just phenomenal women's wrestlers. We have the men wrestle the women. If the women were only ever wrestling each other, imagine only ever getting experience against relatively few opponents, or you can have experience against everyone. Imagine if there's a championship that only three of you are competing for, and you can win that because it's your turn and there are only three. Or imagine there's a championship where it's like there are 50 of us, you just have to be the best. And then they either sink or swim. But because they are great athletes, because they are fantastic at wrestling, and because they do deserve it, being put in that situation where they do have to sink or swim, they swim. And so, like, we've had women's champions the last two, and before that we had Cherry Stevens is the soul of PWA. They're constantly in and out of the tag team stuff. It's not, they're not there because they're women, they're there because the fans demanded it. or that was the best spot, or that was the whatever. And I truly think that comes from not treating them with kid gloves. But on the other hand, when they do earn it and deserve it, giving them the accolades the same way that you would with any of the boys.
I think everybody is kind of clued in on the fact that wrestling is very, very real in a sense, and injuries certainly do happen. So, what kind of safety measures would be in place to help prevent them or treat them as they happen, especially sort of around the discourse about things like concussions in the wider sports arena?
I think that if you are smart and are safety conscious, then a lot of those extra horrible things don't tend to happen as much. Like the whole steel chair to the head thing is just crazy. There's no reason to ever do that. If we hit each other with chairs, they're not steel, they're padded, and like, they still sting, but there's not going to cause anything. You put the hand up to protect. There's all sorts of different things. And again, we don't pass people who aren't training and physically fit and okay. And then when that's the culture, for example, if there is a newer person who's just got some crazy idea in their head and we can see them going to do something, you will have 20 people in the room turn around and go, "What the hell are you doing? Like, stop that right now." You can change that scenario. And then also one of the things we go through ahead of every show is, hey, if somebody gets a concussion or knocked out or anything like that, end the match. Don't try to, "Oh, maybe I can do this, maybe I can move them around, maybe." No. Leave them there. We'll end the match. We'll get them to safety and we'll do that. So we have little protocols and things like that in place. We have some of the people backstage have, nursing qualifications and medical first aid, things like that that we sort of have. So as much as possible, we don't put our guys at risk. We don't book or use people who aren't training regularly to make sure that they are staying safe to mitigate those risks.
It's pretty safe to say, I think independent wrestling, especially in Australia, is kind of having a bit of a moment. What would you attribute the rise in wrestling in Australia?
I would just say consistent work and progress. We're like a dog with a bone. We just won't let it go. And so we just keep getting better. We keep producing better students. And then when you get situations like we start producing better students, and then those students start getting booked at WWE, and then they go to WWE, and then they're doing their training course, and they're like, "Wow, you guys are better trained than any of our people. Who trained you?" And they go, "Those guys." And they go, "Oh, okay." And then more of us get on the radar, and then they keep pointing back to Australia, and then they keep doing things like that. And because we have those connections, we're able to leverage them into more attention for us. One of the big changes that happened over the past few years was that we went from running RSL clubs or little halls and stuff, and went, "Hey, let's run Metro Theatre," or "Let's run Star Casino." And then it's like, well, you're going from renting a place that costs $300 to $500 from something that might cost $5,000 or $6,000. That's a lot of money. Do you have that money? It's like, no, but we're going to try anyway. And then we tried, and then it worked. And because it worked, we took that step there. More people came to it because it was a bigger atmosphere, because it was a bigger venue. So we just keep taking bigger and bigger swings, working on the quality of our product, reinvesting any money we have, and just slowly building. While our students who are getting captured, they're going to like Robbie Eagles in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But then because he makes friends in New Japan Pro Wrestling, they come back and work for us. And we just start, it's a steady build. And then on top of that, WWE's recent increase in popularity, more people are interested in wrestling. We're also able to take advantage of that, like the rising tide, all ships kind of thing. And so we just keep working and just keep pushing forward, and we just seem to it hasn't seemed to have declined yet, and I don't think it will, because it's not a flash in the pan fluke thing that we're doing. It's consistent, stable business build.
Sometimes you would get pretty young kids and so forth who are probably too young to start getting in the ring. What kind of things would you tell them in those kind of situations to sort of say, hey, you're probably not quite at this point to be doing this, but if you want to, this is what I would suggest.
I would suggest martial arts firstly. So any kind of grappling, jiu-jitsu, or Brazilian jiu-jitsu, or judo, anything that's going to teach you rolls and break falls, and then also take you through some push-ups and squats and general fitness, and keeping yourself flexible, which is great for injury prevention, would be your best entry. And if you're really, really committed on top of that, if you can get into acting, something where you start to have an understanding of how to be a character and speak into somebody else's voice, that could be an advantage. And video editing and graphics production. Because when you look at, say, you have to promote your own Instagram or you have to promote, do your own promos, especially when you're new or if you don't have any money to pay somebody to do something, if you can go, oh, I'm this wrestler. Here's the, all these graphics about where I'm going to be coming up. Here's a video promo that I did that I've edited together myself in a cool way. If you have those skills, that's probably going to be a huge advantage to you.